You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you can get our podcasts. As always, I am Sean, and here in the studio with me is my partner in crime and the other co-host of Cinematic Adventures, and that is Paul. Paul, how are you today?
I'm good, Sean. How are you?
I'm great as always. Rocking the Cinematic Adventures shirt.
Heck,
love
yeah.
It.
You can get that on Misfit on themisfitfashion.com.
Nice. I was just about to ask, what else can you get there?
Other shirts. Stickers. More podcasts.
There you go. Okay.
News, reviews, and more content.
Awesome. All right. I should have put money down on it. It was going to come at some point.
Yep. I told you it was going to happen. It's going to happen throughout the entire episode.
Oh, here we go, folks. You heard it here first. You're going to love that.
Today on a very musical episode.
Pretty much. So if you don't know what we're talking about because you didn't pay attention to what you clicked on when you hit it, we are discussing Stranger Things Season 4. Now, some of you might be going like, well, you never did Seasons 1, 2, and 3. And you know what? You're right. But it's our podcast, and we decide what we want to talk about.
Usually last minute.
So, pretty much. Even today, Paul's like, what are we talking about? I'm like, Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
So like, do you want to do something else and think about Stranger Things a little more? He goes, nah, I can wing it.
That's a show that I know.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to recap fairly quickly the first three seasons of this show, and then we'll, after a break, do a deep dive into the premise of Season 4, the returning cast members, the new cast members, you know, the overall fan response to this season, and where we think the show's going to wind up going in its fifth and final season, which at some point I guess will air next year or 2 years from now. We don't know. It hasn't even started production yet. So we're going to jump right in here to, first of all, Paul, when did you watch Stranger Things the minute it started, or were you a late bloomer onto the show?
I think producer Melanie and I got into it relatively quick.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we got into it as fast as we could. So we're not big horror fans in the house, like, especially like this show was an actual horror show, especially the first season.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this season.
Yeah, and this season it definitely jumps back into it, but yeah, so we jumped into it, though, pretty quick. What about you?
Well, you were actually the one that really pushed me into watching it. I knew of it. I don't know if I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I'm very weird with TV shows that are in, like, the cultural phenomena, thing. Like, I'm not a fan of watching something because the whole world's watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Sopranos, you know, any of those shows, just never got around to watching them. But this one, you know, between you and our mutual friend Matt was pushing me to watch it as well, because he kept going like, it's Spielberg meets John Carpenter. It's the Goonies, you know, meets the Monster Squad. It's right up your alley. And I'm like,
those are not wrong.
No. And so I'm giving him credit, because it's, you know, that's what got me into it. And then you pushed me even further. And I think we watched it together, actually, that first episode. And I was hooked. I binge watched the rest of that season probably within the next day, 2 days at most.
Wow.
So from then on, I was like, okay, season two's out, boom, watch it. Season three's out, boom, watch it right away. And I couldn't wait for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So want to jump into a recap of first three?
Where's Will?
So season one, we're set in 1983. Will Byers, one of the main characters, is abducted by a creature from what we learn to be called the Upside Down.
By the way, full spoilers.
Full spoilers.
For Stranger Things 1 through 4.
There you go.
Son.
See, you've been warned, folks.
Yeah.
Two already.
Well, we have four seasons, so I figured.
But two. We're already at two. Will's mother, Joyce, the town's police chief, Jim Hopper, begin to search for him, and then a young psychokinetic girl named Eleven escapes from a laboratory in the town and is found by Will's friends. She befriends them and then assists them in their efforts to find Will. Boom, they find Will. Season's over. Fair recap?
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Good.
And L disappears.
And L disappears at the end of the season, which was yeah. Season 2, basically set a year later in 1984. Will has been rescued, but he begins having premonitions of the fall of Hawkins caused by a creature in the Upside Down. It is discovered that Will is still being possessed by the Upside Down, and his friends and family learn that there's a larger threat to the universe. So, with the help of Eleven again, they think they finally close down the Upside Down and save Will and the town from impending doom.
Doom!
And then we get to season 3, which is, I don't think a full year later, but decent amount of time later.
Sure.
Thank you for your support.
I don't know.
Okay, but, you know, just saying, you don't have to sound so like...
Yeah!
There you go. See, this is all I ask.
That's all you needed. Yeah, I got you.
So, several months later, you all right with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Several time later.
several somethings later.
In many the days, parsecs later.
In the days leading up to the 4th of July celebration of 1985, the new Starcourt Mall in Hawkins has become the center of attention for everybody, putting the majority of the other town out of business. Hopper becomes increasingly concerned with Eleven and Mike's relationship, and he becomes very protective of Eleven, who is now his daughter, because he adopted her at the end of season 2. Unbeknownst to the town, a secret Soviet laboratory under the mall seeks to open the gateway to the Upside Down, and the creature, now known as the Mind Flayer, uses his mind control to make Billy, who is a character introduced in season 2, the brother of... Why am I blanking?
Max.
On? Thank you.
I'm and okay. Sex God of the Town.
Sex... What?
All the women are in love with Billy.
Billy. Okay, I thought you were talking about the girl. I was like... What?
No, that'd be Billy. Billy was... And you know who played Billy? The Red Power Ranger.
That's right. Took me a little while to figure that out.
It's the hair.
Yeah.
And the mustache. The mullet and the mustache. He made it work, though.
Yeah. The Mind Flayer uses mind control to make Billy pretty much do his bidding. And a very Invasion of the Body Snatcher vibe in that season.
Oh, yeah.
And the team teams up again, and they stop everything and save the world again. And there we go.
Have they lost yet, really?
Not really. So you kind of feel good about season 4, but you never know. You never know.
You kind of feel good about season... Oh, man. I'm just waiting for the killer soundtrack, in all honesty.
So we want to take a break, or we want to jump right into season 4?
Do you want to take a break and then talk, like, go character by character?
Yeah, we can do that.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, let's take a break and do that.
Go for it. We'll be back in just a flash.
In some time...
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by Raise Energy Drinks. Raise is a proud member of Rep Sports, and if you guys are looking for a little extra kick during your day, whether you need to tackle a workout or you need to get over that afternoon slump, you can always check out Raise Energy. And if you get the checkout and you enter the code Cinematic, not only will you be getting a 15% discount, but you'll also be supporting the network. So that's Raise Energy with Rep Sports. Code is Cinematic, CINEMATIC.
All right, and welcome back. And so we're going to jump into the main cast of season 4. We'll do the obviously returning characters that have been in all 3 seasons, and then we'll point out the new characters that were introduced for this season. So, Paul, would you like to do that?
Sure.
Oh, see, look. He's happy.
Are we going to talk about the characters, like where they've been since
season
4?
Well, yeah, we can. Okay. Yeah. So where they ended in season 3 and then where they are now at the beginning of season 4.
Okay, so we got Winona Ryder in her restarring vehicle, in all honesty. Like, she was an actress that disappeared, and this show put her right back on the map.
Pretty much. I mean, she had a little resurgence back in the early 2000s and then kind of vanished again, and then this show really definitely put her back in the cultural...
And now she doesn't have to steal things from department stores.
That's true.
That was a weird time.
Yeah, she was going through a lot.
Yeah,
I know. As far as I know, I don't really know.
I mean, you don't know personally?
No, I don't know personally.
Like, you knew her so well.
I haven't got a chance to ask her. I was like, so what was all that about?
Several time ago, when I knew Winona Ryder. No, so she's back as Joyce Byers, and she's, you know, they move at the end of season 3. She adopts Elle.
I don't know if officially she adopts her, but she basically takes charge of her, yes.
Yeah, so... They're living. She's doing like some working from home telemarketer thing.
Telemarketer.
You know what? You know what? That pisses me off.
Why does that piss you off?
You know what pisses me off? So it is 2022. Sean and I are both fairly successful in our careers. We both have good jobs, and She's working from home on the telephone and an afforded a three-bedroom house. Get out. Actually, it's a four-bedroom house because each of those kids have their own. I can't.
It's the 80s.
Paul. I cannot. Inflation. 80s. It pisses me off. That shag carpet.
It's all credit.
All credit. It's all credit. It's all credit cards. This is before the housing market crashed. But so she, basically, it's weird because this season, they are all doing their own adventures.
Yes. As we'll get into, there's literally three different plot lines going on in this entire season.
So plot line one. Winona Ryder, Joyce Byers, receives a mysterious package in the mail with Russian stamps. In it contained a Russian doll, and it had clues that indicated that Hopper may not be so dead. Dun, dun, dun.
I like how you said that.
Speaking of which, David Harbour as Jim Hopper, making his triumphant return with less hair, less body fat, and a can-do attitude.
And a less Russian accent than he had in Black Widow.
I was a little annoyed that he just fell off the ledge, because at the end of season three, he's trying to stop the machine from doing its thing, its machine stuff, and he beats up the Russian guy, and he dramatically looks at Joyce as he stands right next to the thing, and it explodes, and everybody assumes Hopper dies. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season, though, you do see, in Russia, they mentioned the American, but we now see that he's been in Russia this whole time. Now, we kind of thought that he was, transported there by that machine when it exploded, but no, the Russians just got there first, and they found him. They're like, that guy, his fault. And they're like, all right, you're coming with us, and we're gonna put you in the Russian
soldiers. You come with us.
Yeah, you're going to the work camp. So he wakes up in a gulag, basically, and he
sounds
makes
like a bad soup.
I'll take the gulag. Ooh, you don't want the gulag, waitress. He had the special.
That sounds like.
I got
him. That's my order.
I got him. All right, who'd win in a fight? Barf or Jim Hopper?
Jim Hopper.
You think Jim Hopper?
I think Jim Hopper. I love Barf, but, Jim Hopper's got it.
Yeah, Jim Hopper.
You know what the gulag sounds like? The food they ate in Heavyweights after Tony Perkins.
That's a movie we got to do at some point, Heavyweights.
We never done Heavyweights?
I don't think we've done Heavyweights.
Wow, look at us.
Yeah, slacking.
Seriously.
Doing Stranger Things season four.
Angels in the Outfield.
Took us a month and a half to do Stranger Things season four. But so Hopper is basically trying to escape from this prison, and he knows he can't do it without help, and he enlists the help of one of the guards. Is he on the main cast now, the guard? Oh, no. Oh, God, I'm going to ruin this. Tom Willashevia as Dimitri, who's the guard that helps him out.
All right.
Sure. Let's go with that.
There's no one here to correct you, so I'm going to say
random Russian person just walks into my house. Not how you pronounce it. Anyway. Then going down the list, we got Millie Bobby Brown returning as 11/Jane Hopper. I felt for her. In the beginning of the season,
high school all over again.
I mean, not really for us. High school wasn't that bad for us. We had each other.
That's not to
10th grade.
10th grade. Yeah, 9th grade was we had our, crossing paths in the hallway for 5 seconds. Hey, did you watch Smallville last night? Yes, I did.
Our longing eyes just stared longingly at each other.
There were some days, man, that traffic, you couldn't be
several times have passed. But anyway, so she's having a lot of trouble adjusting to this new school and bullies.
Can I just say, they went for the 80s Winona Ryder look with her.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God, she looked just like Winona Ryder from Heathers and Beetlejuice and all that.
It was the hair.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, agreed.
So she's having a lot of trouble adjusting, and the 80s bullies are in full with the girl Angela, who I can't find her on the cast list right now. So we'll get there. Oh, no, I got it. Elodie Grace Orkin as Angela. And she's just the worst. Do I think she deserved to have her head split open by a roller skate? Not particularly. But I feel like Elle's one of those characters that they kind of took a step back with her. She wasn't that socially awkward in season three with Max.
Because she'd been hidden. And really Max, I think, just lucked out that Max was willing to
kind of put up with the weirdness.
Put up with her, but now she's been thrust into this
brand new environment.
Environment she's never been a part of.
And all she's got is Will.
But what I loved was the going back and forth between how she's being treated, in high school and then how she was treated when she was at the laboratory. Mm-hmm. very similar.
Yeah.
We'll get into that after we go through the cast and, you know, where that goes. But
well, let's talk about how great they did with making her look young again.
Yeah.
They used another actress, I think. And they superimposed
her face.
Yeah. And they did a very good job.
Yeah.
Like, thank God. But we got Finn Wolfhard as Mike Wheeler, a.k.a. the person we hate the most.
You hate the most. I don't have a problem with
you. Don't have a problem with Mike? He's so... Oh, God, he's the worst.
He's a kid.
He's the worst.
I don't think he's as bad as he was in season three, in this one.
Season three was rough.
Because, again, in season three, he's the typical, like, what did I do wrong? Like,
I didn't do anything.
Like, you know, everything I'm doing is fine. You know, why don't you get it? In this one, he literally is, like... I mean, professes his love for her.
After he writes from Mike in all of his letters. Oh, oh. See, here's the workaround for that. If any of you guys aren't ready to commit, you write with love.
With love.
On the letters you're not writing anymore.
Emails.
As per my last email, we're in a relationship. We got Gaten Matarazzo.
Gatton? I don't know.
Matarazzo as Dustin.
I love Dustin.
Dustin is a character who, it's funny because Melanie doesn't like him, but she also likes him. It's very strange. He's one of those characters that's just so endearing. Mm-hmm. And he always kind of steals the show whenever he's on. It sucks because like the cast is so big and the three separate storylines really didn't help because it felt like you were missing out on some of the characters.
And I will definitely, yeah. I feel like some characters got shortchanged this season. Some characters were maybe given too much time, but... I see where you're going with that. They've added, you know, significant amount of characters in the last three seasons. So, you know, except for that first season when you had those set characters, it's grown. So obviously you got to give more screen time to certain people. And it, you know, it definitely waters down the product a little in terms of giving everybody a fair amount of, you know, story, screen time, and really good stuff to do.
Right. But I did like how him and Mike, they're in the D&D club, the Hellfire Club. Yeah. Like, that was very reminiscent of being in high school, like, stuff like that. Still is. I mean, as we sit here doing my podcast, you know, in my basement.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's see. We have Caleb McLaughlin as Lucas. I liked Lucas this season.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with Lucas. I feel like in season one, he was always just kind of... I hate to say it. I really do. But he was the token of that friend group. It was a very 80s friend group. And,
but I liked that you got that little description at the end of season one where, you know, Dustin's like, he's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you two have known each other. And Mike's like, well, no, you're my best friend too. And he goes, no, listen, I appreciate that, but I moved here, you know, son says this year, Will, you know, Dustin, sorry.
You got this.
Lucas has been your best friend forever. So it's like, you know, there's definitely a kinship between all of them, and you see that grow as the seasons progress. But I don't know if he would consider him the token friend in that season. I thought he had good stuff to do, but, you know, we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Going down. I did like his story with the basketball team and like kind of figuring out where he was.
Trying to get out of the loser club, as he called it.
And then he beats up Jason, who's the real villain of this season. Oh, God, he's the worst. All right, Noah Shepp as Will Byers. Can we all just talk about Will Byers needs to fire his barber? The most unrealistic scene in that entire show was when he's sitting in class and the girl tries to rub her like foot up on him, and he's like, no, I don't like girls. That girl would not have found him attractive. I'm sorry. He's so weird looking. It's like he kept growing, but his hair stayed the same. And he is the king of the memes now with the crying, the Will crying. Like, there's some great memes.
Oh, I haven't seen many. There's some fun. Where do you find the memes? Because I just don't
I'm
see
all
them.
Over. Well, I'm on Instagram. Oh, Sean's okay. Not on Instagram.
I don't do Instagram. Yeah.
But I like the Will stuff. And obviously, Will's gay. Like, the character.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't come out and said it. Nobody's really acknowledged it. His brother noticed. Like, he knows that he is. And I like that bond that they have. One of the most powerful scenes in the entire season is the two of them talking about it without really talking about it. Because this was also, let's not forget, this, and they talk about it with Maya. It's the 80s. Like, it wasn't as socially acceptable, especially in a small town.
You're still in the AIDS crisis about to start the AIDS crisis. So it really will turn into not very kindly if people know you're gay. It's troubling time.
Yeah. So I think some powerful scenes with Will.
Yes.
And you feel for him and Elle. Like, the two of them are just like, oh, it hits you right in the jellies there.
I do like the relationship the two of them have made for each other.
Yes, a very sibling-like relationship.
Very brother-sister, you know, like, he looks after her, she looks after him.
I still say Will was peak in season two. That was my favorite Will, like, when he was being possessed by the Mind Flayer and all that stuff. That was my favorite.
Yeah, intense Will. Like, he really didn't have much to do in season three.
No.
Because he really wasn't part of the story.
Right.
You know, he had that little thing on his neck where it says, oh, the Mind Flayer is alive, and then really after that he just really didn't have a big
How this season ended too,
kind of, pretty much. And even in this season, I mean, he has stuff to do, but as, again, we'll get into what characters kind of got shortchanged.
Sadie Sink as Max, I think she was
stole
one of
the show
runaway this season.
Stole the whole series, in my opinion, this season.
She ran up that hill. I love this show that it brings, like, some of these older songs to, like, the forefront.
I've never heard that song before, I'll be honest with you. And after that episode aired, like, YouTubed it, and, like, I was like, why have I never heard this song? I will tell you this, even though that scene will be remembered, I think, as the scene of the season, I did love the journey.
Oh, the teaser. Oh, yeah.
No, when they're going into the death house.
Oh, yeah.
And it's separate ways, but in, like, a different way.
It was all like a remix. It was really good.
I thought that was fantastic, the way they did that.
But she definitely steals the show in this one.
Absolutely.
Natalia Dyer as Nancy. Badass.
Badass.
Nancy is such a badass.
Nancy's been a badass in season one, honestly.
I will say that Nancy and Steve have changed so much since season one. We'll talk about Steve.
He might be my favorite character.
I'm going to agree with you on that one. But I don't like their rekindled relationship.
I don't have a problem with it.
Here's my problem with it. Throughout the entire season, you see that her and Jonathan are kind of on the outs. Not because they don't care about each other, just distance.
One's in California, one's in Indiana.
And that's hard for anyone. Even nowadays, where technology is so much better with stuff like that, it's still hard.
It's still hard.
Okay. I can get on board with that. That, you know, they're both feeling this way, but they're not sure how to say it. Like, people have been there. Like, I get it. But then we spend the entire season dealing with that just for them to drop it at the end completely.
It's kind of the way it was in season one.
But the opposite.
Yeah, the opposite. But I you know it's going to get dealt with in season five. You know it's coming. It's, you know, the whole first two episodes is Steve trying to find the right girl for him. Everybody thinks it's Maya because nobody but Steve knows that Maya is gay.
Yeah.
And what a true friend that is, that he hasn't, you know, spilled that out.
I was going to talk about Jonathan next, but let's talk about Joe Curious Steve, just because Steve Harrington has some of the best character development of any fictional character that I could think of.
I agree with that.
Like, Steve went from, he went from the 80s bully.
80s spoiled bully.
Which is funny because I was rewatching some of season one just to kind of, like, get myself psyched up for season four. And, you know, obviously I like doing the recaps. And yeah, he's a bully, but he's also a justified bully in a lot of regards. Like, it did seem like Jonathan was stalking Nancy.
So I agree with you there. And in rewatching it, though, I never felt he was, like, a bad guy. No. I felt it was the people he was hanging out with brought out the badness in him. And he really was never bad. Like, as you said, you know, it's justified. You know, you see a guy taking pictures of your girlfriend
changing.
It's like, what would you do?
Yeah. So
the Nancy is a slut thing, that was like the meanest thing he ever did.
Yeah, that's when he.
But I firmly believe that he was
not entirely behind it.
I think it was his friends that were pushing him to be like, yo, man, this girl is messed up. You should say this.
But we saw Steve, once he started interacting with Dustin and all of them, like, that's where I still want to put on the record that Steve took on a Demogorgon with just a baseball bat.
Yes.
And Hopper had trouble with a flamethrower. So,
well, the flamethrower would turn on. So, you know, like, it's fair, but.
But I really wish we got the baseball bat this season. We didn't get it. Yeah. Because that almost became, like, part of his character. But so first it was him and Dustin. Like, and then season three when he's working at Scoops Ahoy.
Him, Dustin, and Maya, and then Lucas's sister, and I'm
Erica.
Erica, thank you. And then this season it was.
He really
him,
is the
Nancy,
dad.
You know, it was him, Nancy, Maya, and
the kids,
and the kids, and Eddie, the new character who we'll get into.
Yeah,
but you're absolutely right. I mean, this guy went from, and I think the Duffer Brothers, the creators of the show, even said, like, we didn't know where the character was going to go, but it was mainly the actor Joe Keery who really took the character and ran with it. Like
Steve is so popular that
they're... I think if they cast a different guy to play that role...
It wouldn't have worked.
I don't know if it would... I don't know if the character would still be around.
I want to see him do a lot more acting. I think he's got real chops.
I liked him in Free Guy. I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The scenes he's in, I thought he was good in that character he played.
And he was able to differentiate from Steve.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't playing the same guy. So I'm interested to see what he will end up doing after, you know, obviously the series ends.
But yeah, I want to see him do more. I hope he does.
I truly think Steve has really kind of turned into my favorite character because the guy's just like, I mean, nothing goes right for him. Like,
but
kind of.
This season, it starts off with everything going right for him. Like, he's got all these, like, women that he's, like, got his mojo back, he says, like, you know. Because last season, he was kind of in a funk working at Scoops Ahoy. Yeah. But all the Save Steve billboards that went up, like, people, like, love Steve. And I'm so glad that he turned into a character. And it was such a natural progression that it just worked so well. We have Jonathan Heaton as Jonathan Byers, or Charlie Heaton, excuse me, as Jonathan Byers. This is a character that I really thought got shortchanged this season.
Absolutely.
Like, I liked Jonathan.
They turned him into a pothead, which I'm fine with.
It's the 80s.
It's the 80s. I had no problem with him being a pothead, but, like, that's all they gave him. Except for that scene with him and Will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really felt he really just...
Considering, like, how important he was the first two seasons, I'd argue.
Oh, yeah. Season one and season two.
Like, season one, like, he was... Like, you fought... He kept the story going at times.
Because he was, you know, obviously trying to, you know... He thought his mom was going crazy. His mom's like, oh, he's not dead. And he's trying to live his, you know, trying to be normal and trying to be like, mom, you have to come to a grip. He's gone. What are we going to do? And then once he figures out this whole monster thing, him and Nancy just kind of go with it and start, after it. It was crazy.
I didn't like what they did with him this season.
I was bummed myself. I agree. I felt that definitely him, Will, were definitely the two characters who got shortchanged the most in this season. I guess you could throw Mike in there as well, because once they put him into California, it kind of tied him into that storyline. There were a few good moments, but it just, like, as you said, there's so many characters and there was a lot of storylines. It felt like episode would go by and you're like, oh, I haven't seen Jonathan, Mike, and Will. Plus the episodes, which we haven't said. These episodes were massive this year. I mean, each episode was basically a movie.
Yeah, especially the last two.
And it's the last two. I mean, the last episode was over an hour, and then the final episode was 2.5 hours long. Mm-hmm.
It was very long.
So it was great, though. I mean, it never felt like it dragged, but it was, oh, man, they got everything they wanted into this season.
Maya Hawke as Robin Buckley, another character that really has become such a great addition to the show. Yeah. I think it helps that there's almost two friend groups. There's like the older ones, and then there's like the younger ones. I would have liked to see Jonathan interact with them a little bit more.
Yeah.
And kind of see how that dynamic would grow.
Because you didn't really see much of it in season three because they're all running for their lives, basically, when they all see each other.
I hope that they all end up coming back to town. And
that's going to be, now that the town is like, as you know, a war zone. Basically, what's going to happen with it. Maya is a character who... For the minute you saw her in season three, you like just liked her.
Yeah.
She was sarcastic. She was funny.
Dry sense of humor.
And, you know, she really added something to season three. I thought that was needed. It was just a new energy into the show that a new character is always brought in to do that.
It was a foil for Steve, but also being the best friend that Steve could have ever gotten.
And who would have thought the two of them would become like the Will and Grace of
such
this
a
show.
Such great chemistry between
opposite,
the two of them.
Opposite, obviously, because, you know. But I loved how, like, throughout the season, you know, Nancy's looking at Robin and going, like, will you two just get together already? And and both Steve and Robin are just kind of like, yeah, no one has any clue that we're not a couple. Everybody thinks we're a couple. You know, and then, of course, when Steve is longing for Nancy and, you know, Robin's noticing it as well. She's like, go for it. You know, you love her, you know, it's a true best friend relationship.
They are friendship goals. Yeah.
You know, more. And I really think that it was funny how they've become true best friends. And I think Dustin,
you know what their friendship reminds me of? Topanga and Sean Hunter, where, like, you know, they have a, like, Topanga's in love with Corey and, like, they've never had like the triangle with
underpants.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It gives off that same vibe where, like,
it's.
I'm trying to think of a better analogy.
It's a Will and Grace.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it is. It's a Will and Grace relationship. It's a couple that are never going to be together that act as if they're meant for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of relationship that it's hard to write for that, but it's just, it works.
Right. All right, let's see. Going down. Ah, I lost my play. Brett Gelman as Murray.
I love Murray.
What another... God, if they kill Murray... I thought this season they were going to. I really did. But oh my God, him with his karate and his Russian, he is the best comedic relief.
He's the best comedic relief for Hopper and for Joyce.
The thing about comedic relief is there are two ways that comedic relief can happen. One, it's annoying. It can be funny, but it's very
forced.
It's very Jar Jar Binks, where it doesn't add to the plot at all. Mm-hmm. But like, and the character has no importance for the plot.
Yeah.
You know, you could argue Jar Jar Binks helped the plot at certain points, but that's not what he was there for. But then you have comedic relief where he's also a vital member of the crew. Like, Murray's a vital member of team. So I him and Joyce were fantastic together. And then even him with Yuri.
Oh, yes. Best line of season two was when they go to Murray's house and he turns to Jonathan and goes, "Hey, Jonathan, how's the pullout?"
Yep. Oh, God. The couch? Oh, God.
Because his face was like he knows what happened. And he goes, "How was the pullout?" Yeah.
Oh, God. It was good. Priya Ferguson? Pariah?
As Erica.
I'm glad they've given her more to do.
Oh, she was very good this year.
She's
too.
A lot of fun. She's like the badass of the little group, and like she just flows in seamlessly.
Yeah.
It was a little off-putting watching the football player like tackle her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, geez.
That was like...
Okay, yeah. That's where we're at.
That's what happens when a small town thinks a certain way. And you know. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Matthew Modine returning as Martin Brenner. I was surprised.
I knew he was going to be in the show because they released photos of him prior to the show coming on. I thought I was going to be in a flashback. I did not know that
well,
it was going to
so
be
really
present
quick,
day.
We didn't even mention this. We didn't talk about the flashback. So... The very first episode starts off with a graphic content warning.
Oh, yes, because this happened literally
right
the
after
week of Valdi.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi did too.
Yes.
Because
with the younglings.
That opening scene is vicious.
Yes.
With Matt Modine, he's waking up from, this attack, and it is rough. And I like Matt Modine. I really do.
Yeah. He had definitely much more to do because in season one, he's basically.
He's the bad guy.
He is just this figure who is the head of this evil organization, and I mean they even make him look like that, and then in this one they give him a little more heart. You find out more about what he's doing. You still don't agree with it because he's basically imprisoning these kids, mm-hmm. and forcing them to do things to bring out these psychic abilities, but they do give him a little more heart with Eleven, and he obviously I guess sacrifices himself.
Kind
of. And I don't really consider it a sacrifice, but he just didn't get out of the way fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
But
he didn't dodge fast enough.
I missed it. Did they ever explain how he survived the end of season one? Because, he's got the scar on his face. So he was attacked. But all you saw was the thing jump on him. And you just assumed it killed him. But I guess it didn't.
I guess not.
So,
he's fine.
He's fine. It's merely a flesh wound.
Tis a flesh wound. But yeah. He was interesting this season.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he was tough on her because he was bringing out her power. Because the whole point of this season is she has lost her powers,
mm-hmm.
which she lost near the end of season three. So she's gone this whole time with, she's been living in California with no power. So she's not been able to do anything to these kids who have been berating her forever until she basically, dents one of their heads with a roller skate.
Right.
But, he gets into her and says, we got to figure out why you don't have the powers. And it ties in with that opening scene.
Yeah.
You'll see about what happens later.
Paul Reiser as Sam Owens, kind of the
yeah.
good cop to Martin Brenner's
That's
bad cop.
It's kind of bum that, he kind of tricked her.
A little bit,
he wants to protect her.
Her well-being is more important to him.
Yes, he has good intentions.
I agree with that. And he's the good cop to the bad cop of
yes.
Martin Brenner. All right, Jamie Campbell-Bauer as Henry Creel / Vecna. So it was the way this season was broken up, which was very unique, was that it was, eight episodes? Or 10 episodes?
No, I think it was 9.
So basically, it was 9 episodes, you're right.
7, and then the last two were released.
So 8 and 9 were released about a month later.
Yes.
Just in time, if you wanted to renew your subscription to Netflix, you couldn't finish the season. Netflix got smart with that one.
Oh, that's fair.
So what happened is... Because we've talked a lot about streaming and pros, cons, this, that, or the other thing. So it was interesting because we're watching episode 7 then, mm-hmm. which is arguably like a penultimate episode, because episodes 8 and 9 are almost as long as the first 4 episodes of the show.
Pretty much.
And it was about 15 minutes before we find out who he is that I paused the show. And my wife looks at me, producer Melanie. She's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I have a theory." She's like, "Okay, what's your theory?" And I specifically said, "He's number one. Like he's Vecna. Like he's the bad guy." She's like, "Huh? All right." Because, you know, he is Jamie Campbell Bauer is one of those actors. The first time I saw him, and I'm pretty sure I can say the same for you, was Sweeney Todd, and he was really good in it.
Yeah.
And then he was in, he played DeWald in Flashbacks.
Yes.
He was in the Twilight Saga, I think. I couldn't tell you. I've only seen most of it. But he's one of those actors that I really like. And his face, like the amount of emotion he can deliver is incredible. He went from like creepy to like endearing to terrifying. Like he does a really good job. And yes. he wears all that makeup.
I know. That was pretty much all practical.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
There's always something to be said about practical effects and, you know, real makeup and all that stuff. And he knocked it out of the park.
Absolutely. How long did it take you to realize, not that he was Vecna, but he was...
The little kid?
The little kid.
Same time I stopped the show to theorize that. Because
I realized he was a little kid fairly quickly.
Really?
Because when you don't see the kid die... Because mm-hmm. he said his son was in a coma. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, his son's the bad guy. I mean, because it just was like, okay.
See, I want more of that mythology, like the, because let's not forget season 2 introduced the entire group of those other superpowered kids.
Yeah, which I was okay that they never brought them back.
That is considered one of the worst episodes of the show.
Yeah, I skip that episode every time I rewatch season 2.
Yeah.
Because it just has nothing to do with the story.
Right.
There's literally nothing in that episode.
It's
that
like the episode with the Mandalorian in the Book of Boba Fett.
It's just gets her to dress up goth and have her moment at the end of the next episode where she shows up and saves the day.
Yeah. But I liked learning about all that stuff because we don't find out where he got his powers.
No.
We don't learn a lot about him. And also like the paranormal and the supernatural aspect of it is a lot of fun because mm-hmm. we find out, I think in season 1 or 2, that they got their powers because of MK Ultra, which is a real life government program. Like if you ever look it up, it's wild. They basically induce like psychosis on people using acid and they recorded the results. Yo, governments do weird things. Like I love how people are like, you're such a conspiracy theorist to, you know, like nowadays you look up some of the things that governments around the world have done and it is wild.
Yeah.
Like the MK Ultra is a real thing and they use it on the show. But I like the paranormal and supernatural aspects a little bit more mm-hmm. rather than science, because I find that paranormal and supernatural is almost like it can happen to anyone. Science has to happen almost by design. But anyway, that's just
fair
me.
Point. No, that's absolutely.
So let's see. We have also starring, let's see, Cara Bono as
Bono
as Karen Wheeler. She takes a little bit more center stage this season.
See, I felt she was underplayed in this season.
Really?
The parents didn't really have much to do, except for the...
Just loud at the parent-teacher conferences.
That was about it. You know,
Eduardo...
She was a huge factor in season 3.
Yeah.
With her, you know, wanting to go off with a younger guy.
With
and,
Billy.
Know.
Mrs. Wheeler. Eduardo Franco as Argyle. Annoying. Really not likable. Like, I get it. He's like the surfer.
He's the comedic relief of that storyline.
And eventually, it pays off having him.
Yeah, because you know, he comes up with how they're able to do what they do.
Surf's up pizza, man. Joseph Quinn as Eddie.
Eddie.
I hope Eddie's still alive. There are a lot of rumors.
It would definitely upset everybody if he doesn't somehow make an appearance in season 5.
Which is shocking because Dacre Montgomery made cameos as Billy this season.
Yeah.
Which were great. They were such a pleasant surprise because they played that really close to the chest. Mm-hmm. But for Eddie is one of those characters that stole the show.
Yes.
It's rare you get a new character that is just so likable and so respected immediately. And obviously, he plays Master of Puppets. That's him.
Yeah.
Like, he's really doing it. It was awesome. Don't think about what that stereo is plugged into because there's no electricity in the Upside Down. Don't even think about it. Let that bother you.
Why would that bother you?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Why would that bother you?
All right, who'd win in a fight?
Yes.
Eddie's rendition of Master of Puppets? Ooh. or Dustin and Susie's duet of Never Ending Story.
That's not fair.
And it's fair. You got it. You got to figure it out.
Master Puppets would win just because it's just an amazing song. I mean, I love the Never Ending song.
You have to take it into the context of what's happening also. So you have...
So Killer Bats.
Killer Bats.
Or not being able to get into the Russian...
Wow. They're being chased by the Mind Flayer, don't forget.
But
turn around.
Them getting chased by the Mind Flayer has nothing to do with the coach he's trying to get at Susie. That's just for them entering the...
Look at what you see.
This is all he wanted, folks. He just wanted to start singing.
In her face. Yeah, I love that. Drive Melanie crazy. But
I love that. Everybody got so mad at that. I thought that was hysterical.
That was actually really popular. And then it turned into...
Like, everybody was like, this is stupid. How is that stupid?
I disagree with you. But anyway.
I didn't understand how people did not like that. I thought that was great.
So going back to Eddie, the reigning theory is he brings up a D&D character in their D&D match. Because obviously the D&D story always reflects what's going to happen. It foreshadows it. And obviously they name Vecna after the character. They use a lot of real D&D stuff, and they make mention of another character who becomes like a vampire lord or something like that.
That's
after
what everybody's expecting.
Yeah, so I would not be surprised if Eddie survives in the Upside Down. Yeah, I'm not going to lie, having him come back as a villain would be wild.
It would be upsetting, but
It would be upsetting, like under Vecna's control, but then like he breaks, kind of like dead. He does the Billy, yeah. Where he takes control back. Because we also find out that the Mind Flayer was Vecna also. Like
everything's been Vecna.
And it's been him trying to get revenge on L, basically. He destroys that whole town and releases the Upside Down just to
so good. So good.
I love it. But that's like the main cast. We have some others. We have Madison Dye as Jason, who is the worst and we hate him and nobody likes him at all. Let's see. We have Susie makes a cameo in, I think, one episode which was kind of upsetting.
I thought she would go with them. I was kind of hoping, but I guess she couldn't escape her.
Yeah. We have Yuri, who's the smuggler, who we hated also. But
he redeems himself, I guess you could say. Kind of.
Dimitri was fun. I liked Dimitri. He, especially like once he's on Hopper's side, really. He also has a great mustache. Let's also talk about how like skinny Hopper got. Holy crap. That was really him, too. Like he did all that.
Yeah.
Good for him. But those are the main...
So I think I read an interview with him that he says, I'm never doing that again, because he got big for Black Widow, and then he had to lose all that weight massively.
Well, let's also not forget, he had Hellboy there, too.
Hellboy was a couple of years ago, though.
But he got ripped for Hellboy.
Oh, he got ripped, yeah.
So, like, his body's been going through a lot. Yes. And it's hard even when you're young. Like, it's a young man's game. Like, look at Christian Bale. Like, he's more than once been like, oh, God, I can't move. But, like...
I heard him say that. Oh, yeah. God, I can't move.
He told me that. He said that to me himself. But so let's talk. We mentioned the three storylines.
Three storylines.
They do converge into one, yes. But which storyline was your favorite?
It's got to be the one taking place in Hawkins with...
I'm with you on
with
that.
All the kids, mainly all the kids. Dustin, Max, Lucas, Erica, Steve, Nancy, Robin, and Eddie. So basically... The plot of this story is kids are dying in a
horrific
way. And everybody thinks it's like witchcraft. And because, you know, Eddie is involved in the Hellfire Club, which is Dungeons and Dragons, it's 1986. People think whatever it is they don't like is weird, that they disagree with. So the first girl we see get killed is Chrissy. And she shows up to Eddie's house to buy drugs. Because she's going through a lot, so she thinks the drugs are going to help her. And that is where Chrissy dies. So Eddie freaks out and he runs away. So automatically, everybody thinks Eddie's the one that killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this whole town is turned against him and is turned against all the kids involved in this Hellfire Club, which include Mike, Dustin, and Lucas. Now, Lucas has been on the basketball team trying to escape that, you know, because he doesn't want to be a loser all his life and stuff like that. So... that whole storyline I loved. And then, of course, obviously, Max becomes the next target of Vecna. You know, she's the one that figures it out, you know, from Chrissy. And then there's the, I don't remember his name, the kid who was sort of the Nancy's photographer.
Oh,
dies,
yeah.
Too. So she figures it out that both of these kids had been dealing with, you know, headaches, nosebleeds.
And they all had some sort of loss in their life.
Some sort of loss in their life.
Or some sort of trauma. Like Chrissy's getting abused by her mom. Mm-hmm. The photographer kid
was in a car accident.
And he survived.
He survived.
So we don't know if it was his fault necessarily, but he might just have survivor's guilt.
Survivor's guilt. And then Max obviously dealing with the loss of Billy.
Yeah.
Which has really, you see she's not with Lucas anymore at the beginning of the season. She's kind of very depressed. She's really not even hanging out with Lucas and all them anymore. Like mm-hmm. she's kind of being by herself and all
the
that.
The clock, too. The clock. Apparently, somebody pointed out that you could hear the clock in one of the episodes in season one. I forget where it was, but like there's a moment where you actually hear the clock. I think it's when Elle's doing like the black room thing.
Yeah.
Where she kind of shadow walks.
Now, I'm going to admit, in every season, I've always preferred the storyline with the kids. Mm-hmm. This is the storyline I go to because to me, that's what the show is. It's that Goonies, feel to it, that Monster Squad, a bunch of kids against, evil as much as possible. And then you get the adults come in, at the last minute and help save the day. I do like the Hopper and Joyce storylines. This season, it didn't do as much for me. I just kind of felt a little over the top. Well, everything's over the top, I guess you could say, in the show. But I don't know. I couldn't explain it. The storyline with Joyce and Hopper in Russia and just, it wasn't my go-to story.
It felt like another movie.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It was a little, too much. But I loved the whole Max storyline.
I thought it was really good. The kid's storyline really stole the show with this one. And then
obviously the third plot line is Mike visiting Eleven, Will, and Jonathan out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, truly feel until they, obviously get to Eleven, they really kind of got not much to do. That storyline, every now and then they're driving. They do go to see Susie, which was a funny scene because, you're seeing the religious household that she lives in. And then the older sister ends up smoking with Argyle, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
But, just again, I definitely felt that Will and Jonathan and Mike kind of definitely got short. I don't know if shortchanged is the right word.
I think there was just so much going on.
So much going on. They really didn't get a lot to do.
But, I dug this show. The mystery was good. Finding out more about Vecna as the story went on.
Well, that was the key. Once you found out who Vecna was, those last two episodes, like I wanted to know everything I could about the character, and I thought he stole those last two episodes. Mm-hmm.
I hope Max is okay, because at the end they start breaking her bones.
I know. She was dead,
and she's in a coma now.
She's in a coma, but she's probably still blind.
I also like how Elle's powers are developing, because mm-hmm. it used to be just like she could, move things with her mind. Then she, obviously she can open up a door to the Upside Down. It makes you wonder. I hope we learn a little bit more about the Upside Down. Like, was it always there? Like, we do see a little bit with Vecna kind of shaping it. And
when he first gets there, it's like just an open.
Yeah, there are some creatures there.
Like the Demodogs are there and stuff like that, which I guess he learns to control them.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the turning it into Hawkins, that was all him.
So who'd win in a fight, Death Edition? Which death hit you harder? Eddie's this season or Sean Astin's when he got killed by the Demi-Dogs?
Ooh.
Bob. Bill.
Okay.
Bill.
I'm going to preface this on the fact that I'm hoping Eddie's not dead.
Okay.
I would definitely say Sean Astin hit harder just because it was tough. Because it's like he's a lovable loser.
He's such a good guy.
Funny guy. Just nothing. There was nothing bad about him. He was just a good person doing a heroic thing.
It was like his character in Click. I don't know. Did you ever see Click?
I've never seen Click.
So he basically plays one of the kids' swim coaches. And throughout the course of the show, Adam Sandler and his wife get divorced and he marries her. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, he's still just like a lovable guy. Like Sean Astin's just a good dude. And I feel like he's gotten such a resurgence as of late, after The Hobbit and stuff like that. Like, It was Goonies.
He was in The Hobbit?
Sean Astin?
He was in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, excuse me. That's what I meant. Sorry. Okay. I hate those movies. So, thank you for...
Well, 51st Dates. Remember him in 51st Dates?
Oh, God.
God,
yeah,
he's hard to watch in that movie.
That's the only time he's not likable. But he's still, likable.
He's funny, but he's just, so dumb in that movie. But
I would say also that Sean Astin, his death in this, in Stranger Things. Now, was that season two?
Yes.
Yeah. Granted, he also gave Will the worst advice ever. Just face your fears and tell it to go away.
Because he has no idea what he's up against.
And giant smoke monster just invaded me. Oh.
Just invaded me.
Dang it. Go away.
So now, I mean, I was surprised that they killed Eddie. killed in air quotes, because again, you know, we'll see. He's dead. I mean, they left him there. I mean, because obviously that, first of all, the scene with Dustin and Eddie's uncle was tough to watch, because Dustin is just destroyed.
Yeah.
Because he basically feels like, you know, he caused his friend's death in a way. But I love the arc of Eddie going from what he calls, which I don't agree with, but he calls himself a coward. I mean, who wouldn't run from that?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a girl lifted in the air and literally her bones are being broken and her eyes are being like crushed.
Sucked into her head.
That's terrifying. So, I mean, that scene where he's like, you know, I ran. I was just terrified. I mean, I'm not a man, you know, like, and he cuts the rope in that where they're going through the door, which I love that scene, by the way, where like they're climbing up and then it turns and they fall.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That was cool. So when he cuts the rope and says to Dustin's like, go, I got this. And he just runs and he's having these bats chase him. I mean, I thought that was a great character arc for him.
Yeah, I liked him in this. And I hope he does survive.
And it's a character you didn't think, you weren't sure if you were going to like him or not, because you, obviously in the first season, he's this, you know, he's like over the top. He's just, he looks a little crazy. You don't know what he's going to be. And then he turns out to be just this really likable guy. And
he's like an anti-Steve, but at the same time, it never feels that way.
Nah, you're right. And, you know, he's kind of the same way you felt about Steve in the first season. So it was definitely hard seeing him get killed. Obviously, with her not dying, Max would have been huge. That would have been huge. If they had actually killed her off. Because, I mean, that's you're going into the kid group. Because that was one thing I was worried about. I was like, ooh, we're one season away from the end. Like, are any of the main kids going to bite it in this season? And they came close.
It's funny because Millie Bobby Brown said in an interview, like, she didn't critique the show, but she was like, nobody dies in it. Like, she meant, like, none of the main cast, which is true. Yeah. But, like, people will revolt if any of these characters die. I want to see...
But it's the same notion as Star Wars, man. You can't kill those people off until you did it in Force Awakens, but, you know...
That one worked.
It worked at the time. It worked for the story. But in terms of the original trilogy, if any of them had died in Return of the Jedi, man, that would have been huge.
Well, if it was up to Harrison Ford.
Oh, well, yeah.
But anyway. So, yeah, you want to do Star City rating? Stranger Things,
definitely.
Season 4?
Me, I'm going to go 4.
4?
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Yes. I will agree with you on that one.
I think this and season 1 for me are tied for best seasons of the show.
Which season do you think is the weakest?
Even though I like it, I think season 3 is the weakest, but not by much.
I would say, I think season 2...
They're very... It's like
it's
1
tough.
And 4 are close for me in greatness, 3 and 2 are close for me in not so great, but still very good.
I think
like, I can watch
season
them.
3 had the most connectivity between all the characters. Mm-hmm. Like they were all kind of interacting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like it always feels like they're so
separated.
Many,
What would you see? I loved every season. There's obviously Winona Ryder is the star of the show, and she is like the, you know, the harken back to the 80s. But every season they've had a former 80s star kind of guest star in the season. So obviously season 1 was Matthew Modine. Season 2, it was Paul Reiser and Sean Astin. And then season 3 was, I guess you could say it was Cary Elwes. This season was...
I always forget he was in it.
I know, because he wasn't really that big of a factor in it, you know, as much in story-wise. But unless I'm missing a character, I don't think so. And then this season, obviously, you get Matthew Modine back. But then I was kind of hoping you'd see more of him. But the Robert Englund cameo in the second episode, which was creepy, you know, with his eyes like... You know, he gouges his eyes out, but now they're sewn shut. That was a creepy scene.
That was very creepy.
That was a creepy scene.
So good, though.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this season. I'm going to give it a little time, and then I'm probably going to go back and rewatch it again.
Yeah, especially before season 5.
Absolutely. I mean, I rewatched season 1 and 2 probably like 3 times each.
Jeez.
And then season 3, I think I've watched twice.
I still got to watch Sandman and Lock and Key, so I can't go.
What do you have to watch?
Sandman and Lock and Key.
I don't know what those are. What is that?
Sandman's a graphic novel adaptation. You know the show Lucifer?
Yeah.
That's what it's based off of.
Oh, okay.
But it took a lot of liberties.
Gotcha.
And then Lock and Key's a show on Netflix. You would like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would give it a try. We do have Fan Feedback Friday.
Oh, hey, look at that.
All right, but you have to answer it. What's a fictional character's death you're still not over?
Oh, God. That's a tough one.
Mm.
Fictional characters. Are there any responses?
There are, but I don't want you to.
No. I wasn't. I'm just.
Do you want me to do the responses first?
Do the responses first. Because I doubt I'll tie. One.
Ironically enough, Eddie from Stranger Things. Let's see. Stand by.
Oh, I got one.
I can't even say these. These are a lot of animes.
Oh.
Aqua Tonga from Bungo Stray Dogs. Good Cutthroat job. From Akudama Drive.
Great job.
Miyu Arumo from Dagarana Pomono.
Could have been better.
Eddie from Stranger Things.
That's not anime.
Adasku Bungo from Stray Dogs.
I'm sure you messed that up.
Yeah, probably.
You know I got one.
Sirius Black.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, you got one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Jack Dawson from Titanic. Still not over it.
Still not over
she
it.
There
was room on that
there
door.
There was room on that
there
door.
There was room on that door. There was room on that door.
But seriously, I'm trying to think of another one that is up there. Ooh, you know what's a tough... It's funny that it's DiCaprio, but his character in The Departed. That one always throws me.
Yeah.
That he gets killed one. In that.
Han Solo, Force Awakens.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not over it.
Yeah, I'm actually, over it.
What was
more tragic, that or Luke? But Luke kind of just gave up.
That was
up.
Dumb. I hated it. I hate that movie.
You sure? I don't know. I can't tell.
I hate that movie. They ruined Luke's... All right, so anyway.
Oh, God.
Don't forget, guys, if you want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, very simple. You go to our Facebook page, The Cinematic Adventures, and you just like it, and it's there every Friday, usually
you just
around...
like it?
You just have to like it.
Just have to like it.
And
I
it's usually
a lot
there
of people don't like it.
Around 9 a.m. every Friday, so...
You're pretty good with that.
Eastern Standard Time, just in case you guys were wondering. So make sure you guys check that out. You can also find more of our content, like we said, at our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also find us on social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Like, basically, you type in The Misfit Faction. Yeah. Type in The Misfit Faction, and there we are. So make sure you guys check that out.
Wow, this was fun. I enjoyed it. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too.
I'm glad.
Thanks, man.
You know, we didn't do 1 through 3, but you know, we kept saying, well, we gotta do Stranger Things 4. We gotta do Stranger Things 4.
Yeah.
But this has been fun. As always, I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
Aren't you?
Do 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 do.
Peace out, everybody.
Do 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 do.